All right, Luke chapter 8. We're in a series that we've called The Invisible War because there is a war that we deal with on a regular basis. We've talked about in previous weeks how that there's basically three enemies that come at us trying to ruin, trying to destroy, trying to rob not only our lives, but meaning and purpose and joy from our lives, but from those that we love as well. So there is a battle that we face on a regular basis. These three enemies, the Word of God tells us that it is the world. And when I say world, I'm talking about the plans, the programs, the philosophies, everything that is anti-God, anti-Christian. That's what I'm talking about when I say the world. Not only that, the world, but also there is Satan that comes at us at a constant basis, just continually coming. But then there's a battle with us. There's a battle within us, and that's the battle of the flesh, right? That's one that we've talked about and kind of dealt with. We have to understand who the enemy is. We have to understand what we need to do to fight the enemy, to win this battle, this battle that rages within all of us. And we've decided this from Scripture that the world is not our biggest enemy. Satan is not our biggest enemy, but the biggest problem that we have is us, right? It's that flesh. And the reason that we have that is because we have two natures, what the Scripture calls the old nature or the fleshly nature, which we're born with. And then there is the spiritual nature that we receive when we're born again and come to know Christ as our Savior. So last week we talked about gave you seven principles on how to win that battle, that invisible war that goes on between the old nature and the new nature. And hopefully those will be a help to you or have been a help to you this past week. And if you didn't get to check that out, maybe you can go back on the website. And Travis puts up the messages, archives the messages, so you can check that out. And that'll be a help to you. But today we're going to talk about just being faithful in a world that's not. Okay? I mean, we live in this world that is certainly not faithful. And we're talking about being faithful. How can we be faithful in this invisible war that we are a part of, this battle between the old nature, the new nature? How can we be faithful? Well, I am going to give you six tests that you can look at today and see how God would use them and how God could help you in your relationship and mature you in your relationship, help you to grow in your relationship with Him. So everything in this world is focused against us to keep us from living a life by faith. All right. But we are encouraged to live that life of faith. So how do we do that? I mean, if God blesses faithfulness, we want to be a faithful people because we want God's blessings, right? And how we do that. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And hopefully these will be a help to you as we kind of unpack these. Because Jesus said this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 8, 18 verse 8. He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth?" Luke 18, 8. I might have said Luke 8, but it's Luke 18, 8. And Jesus said this. Scripture says, "When He comes, will He find faith on earth?" So we want to be a faithful people. We want to be a faithful people when He comes. And the Bible tells us three things that are very important for us as far as our faith is concerned. And I just want to mention these. They're not on your card, but if you have your Daystar card and your message notes in front of you and you want to take some notes, you can jot these down. Maybe on the side somewhere. But I'm going to give you three important things about faith, and that is that, number one, God is looking for faithful people. God is looking for faithful people. I mean, He's actively, visibly looking for faithful people. Scripture tells us this in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in behalf of those who are loyal to Him." So we want to be a faithful people. God is looking for faithful people. And this scripture bears it out. One of my favorite verses right here. God wants to bless those who are faithful. So does that encourage you to be faithful? Does me. And that's what we want to talk about today. So God's looking for faithful people. Here's the second thing that you can jot down on your card. And that is this. The Bible teaches that faithful people are hard to find. They're hard to find. As a matter of fact, scripture says this in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? So people who trust the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, strength, they're actually quite rare. And God is looking for faithful people, but faithful people are hard to find. A lot of people talk about being a faithful person, but their walk does not measure up to their talk. An old saying that I learned years ago is this, and it is, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Now, did you get that? Okay. So your walk talks, how you act, how you present yourself, your walk talks, but your talk also talks. All right. So words are cheap unless they're followed by action, correct? So that's what we're talking about here. Some people, they'll talk the talk, but they won't walk the walk. They'll trust in other things besides the Lord. They'll trust in their own abilities. They'll trust in their bank account. They'll trust in their winsome, personality. They'll trust everything else besides the Lord. And scripture tells us this in Psalm chapter 53 and verse 2. It says, God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. And then the next verse says this, every one of them has turned aside. They've together become corrupt. There is none who does good, no, not one. So faithful people are hard to find. So God's looking for faithful people. They're hard to find, really quite rare. Now, Daystar Church is made up of some faithful people, and I'm so thankful for your faithfulness. I pray this for us every week, that we would be faithful to Him, to His Word, to each other, to His house. I just pray that we'll be a faithful people. Here's the third thing that you can jot down, and it's this. Faithfulness is the key to victory and blessing. Okay? Faithfulness is the key to victory and blessing. So you want victory in your life? You want blessing in your life? Be a faithful person. Amen? God blesses faithfulness. So scripture tells us this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it? Our great personality? Our bank account? Anything else that you might want to mention? Your possessions, whatever it is. It's not the key. The scripture tells us this, that the key is our faith. So verse 5 says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? That's how we're going to overcome the world. That's how we're going to overcome and have victory. It's by our faith. All right? So how do we do that? How are we going to be a faithful people? Remember, our words are cheap unless they're followed by action. It's our faith that gives us the victory. And the Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20 tells us this, a faithful man will abound with blessings. And as your pastor, I love you. I pray for you. I pray for you regularly. I pray that God will bless your life. I pray that God will bless you physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, spiritually. I pray that for you every single day, that God would bless you relationally, vocationally, in every way. That's my prayer for you, because I love you guys. I want your life to be blessed, and I want it to be abundantly blessed. But in order for us to have that blessing, then we've got to know how to be faithful, and we've got to learn how to be faithful. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we have to understand that God tests our faith. Right? We spent a little time dealing with this here, previously and talked about it, but I just want to bring it back up today and remind you that God blesses faithfulness. And I really want to encourage you to be a people of faith. So we're going to look at these six tests and see how God uses these things to grow our faith and to bless us in a very special way. Now, all right, you can jot these down on your card. Got room for these. These are the ones I put down for you as far as the notes are concerned. And the first test is this. God uses little things to test our integrity. God uses the little things to test our integrity. Your integrity is built in the small things of life. I mean, your integrity shows up in the stuff that nobody sees. It's the kind of person that you are when the lights are out. It's the kind of person that you are when you're all by yourself and nobody else is around. It's the small, unseen, unspectacular moral choices that we make. That's integrity. Nobody's ever going to see it. So God blesses our integrity. We want to be a people of integrity. Faithfulness requires integrity. So we want to be truthful to our, keep our word, right? We want to do what we say we're going to do. Faithfulness requires integrity, and faithful people, they'll be a people of integrity. Here's what Scripture says, Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So Jesus is saying your public blessing is determined by your private integrity. Okay? So it's very important for us to be a people of integrity. All right? So God blesses, and he uses the little things to test our integrity. So that's number one. Second thing I want you to jot down is this. God uses my talents to test my unselfishness. You have to decide, what are you going to live for? I mean, you basically have two choices in your life. You can live for yourself. That leads to a self-centered life. I don't know very many people that are satisfied living a self-centered life. Do you know very many people? I mean, usually when they're consumed with self, they can't see past their own, you know, nose in front of them. But a self-centered person is truly not a happy person. So you can live for yourself, and that leads to self-centeredness, and it basically leads to a miserable time as far as life is concerned. Or you can live for a greater purpose, and may I suggest the kingdom of God. You can live for him and honor him and get not so wrapped up in self, but get wrapped up in others. And we're going to talk just a little bit more about that in a moment, but I wanted to mention this to you. So God uses my talents to test my unselfishness. Faithful people don't live for themselves, right? They realize that the talents that God gave them are not for them, not just for their benefit, but it's for the benefit of others. So if we're going to make the world a better place, then we've got to live for others. God gives you a talent. God has given you many talents. God made you you, so be you. Be who God made you. There's nobody like you in all the world. He shaped you to serve him, and he shaped you to serve other people. There's only one way to serve God, because we can't see God now, but the way that we can serve God is by serving others, because he loves everyone. Gave himself on the cross to die for the sins of the world. Faithful people realize that their talents are not just for themselves, but their talents are to be used for others. Now, if I don't use my gifts, my talents, then you're cheated. If you don't use your gifts and talents, then I'm cheated. So God has blessed us, but God wants us to be unselfish with our talents. Some of you, you have the talent to fix things. That guy sitting right behind you, Dean, I mean, he can fix anything. Anything. Some of you have the talent to close deals. I mean, some of you have the ability that you can just take anything and turn it into something that is very profitable. Some of you are mechanically inclined. Some of you are musically inclined. That's not me. I wish it was, but that's not me whatsoever. Some of you are good at organizing. Some of you have great talents. Use those talents to serve other people, to serve the Lord. And by serving the Lord or serving other people, we're serving the Lord. So here's what we have to understand, that God tests our talents, and he uses our talents to test our unselfishness. And God made us. He made us the way that we are. So we take and use what God has given us. And God put you on this broken planet 75, 80 years. God wants to use you to touch other people, to make a difference in their lives. God has given you a talent, so use it for his honor, for his glory. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So God has given you talents. He's watching to see that you use those talents to minister to other people. So God is testing our faithfulness. So if we're going to be faithful, then we have to use what God has given us, right? So that's the point that I want to make here. I feel like that's very important for us to understand that. And here's what I have learned over the years. The more that you use what God has given you, the more God gives you back. Let me say this. The more energy that you use serving God and serving other people, the more energy God gives you. The more generous you are with your giving, you cannot outgive God. Okay, so the more that you use what God has given you, the more that God trusts you with that, so He gives you more of that. Does that make sense? I hope it does, because it is so true. The more influence that God gives you, the more that He wants to use you. So be surrendered to Him, because Scripture tells us this, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So God uses these tests. He uses the little things to test our integrity. He uses our talents to test our unselfishness. And then He uses the third thing, jot this down. We don't like this one very much, but we deal with it. God uses tough times to teach us persistence. The difference between faithful people and unfaithful people is unfaithful people will give up. Faithful people are committed. Not going to give up, not going to quit, not going to throw the towel in, but are diligent, are persistent, don't know how to quit, just never give up mentality. Just going to stay with it. It's always too soon to quit. So God uses tough times to test our persistence. And some of you are going through very tough times right now. And these verses came to my mind this week, and I feel like they're from God for me to give to you. So these verses are for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. How many of you right there, man, you're about ready. But I'm encouraging you, just be faithful. You're there. And Scripture tells us, don't lose heart. Even though this outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You're going through tough times right now, but please listen to me. Allow God to use that to build your character, to stretch your faith. And verse 18 tells us this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God's interested in who you are, yes, but He's also interested in who you're becoming. So God allows trials to come. He allows difficulties and hardships and problems to teach us diligence, persistence, determination, and character. It's a test of our faithfulness. So if we're going to be a faithful people, then we've just got to have this mentality, I'm not giving up, not going to do it. Not quitting, not throwing the towel in. So God blesses faithfulness. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. I'm going to encourage you guys to mark this verse. Circle it on your Daystar card. Go home and memorize it. Galatians 6, 9 says this, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. So just be persistent. We're going to be a faithful person. Then we've got to use what God's given us. We're not going to be selfish with it. God uses, He uses our faithfulness to help and to minister to others. When we're faithful to Him, we're ministering, we can minister to others as well. So memorize this verse. Commit it to memory. God uses tough times to test your persistence. One of the great spiritual lessons I learned it from the theologian Forrest Gump. How many of you have ever seen the movie? All right, so you guys, you know what I'm talking about then. Okay, so he goes through a series of events, and one of the events and problems that he goes through is there is a hurricane, there's a tsunami coming. and the southeastern part of America. And Forrest Gump has got this fishing boat, right? Bubba Gump Shrimp, all right? So they know that this storm is coming, and all the other captains, all the other boats, they feel like the best thing that they can do is just wait out the storm, right? Tie up there in the harbor, you know, there on the shore. We're not going out into this storm. We're going to batten down the hatches, so to speak, and we're going to, you know, wait it out. We're going to play it safe and not go out fishing. And the only fishing boat that is out is Forrest Gump, right? And this storm comes, and he's out there, and he's fishing. And if you remember the story at the end of the storm, all of these boats that have been tied up and we're going to wait out the storm, they're all decimated. They're all destroyed. So now he's the only one. He's dominating the market now because he was the only one who didn't play it safe. He was the only one who went out, took a little bit of a risk, and as a result, he was blessed from it. Now, I told you that to tell you this. Daystar Church, Scripture tells us this, that we are to be fishers of men. And I think sometimes the Lord really impresses us to speak to someone about their faith, share Jesus with them, what he's done for us, what he can do for them. And I just want to encourage you to be persistent in that. And we're going to talk just about a little bit more about that in just a minute. But when tough times come, just be persistent, okay? Here's the fourth thing. Jot it down, and we're moving right along now. Here's the fourth test of faithfulness. God sabotages, he uses shortages to test my generosity. God sabotages. He uses shortages to test my generosity, okay? So let's talk about this just for a minute. We're going to be faithful. We need to be faithful in our generosity as well. Okay, mentioned it already a little bit, but I want to follow up on this. Anybody can be generous when there's a surplus, right? When there's a surplus of time, you can be generous with your time. When there's a surplus of energy, you can be generous with your energy. When there's a surplus of money, you can be generous with your money. When there's a surplus with your health, you can be generous with your health. It's when I don't have enough time, and I don't have enough energy, and I don't have enough money, and I give it away to help others, God is watching to see if I'm faithful. Now, there's a great example of this in Scripture. There was a church in Macedonia in Greece, and Alexander the Great was from Macedonia, so there's a church there in this place called Macedonia in Greece, but there's also another church in Greece, and it's the Church of Corinth. And the church at Corinth, Paul writes a letter to the church at Corinth, and he's bragging on the church in Macedonia because the Macedonia church were being very generous, giving what they really did not have to give to bless the church at Corinth because of a situation that was going on there. So here's what Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Now notice, he's talking about this church in Macedonia helping the church of Corinth. And he says, out of their deep poverty, they abounded in the riches of their liberality. How in the world can you do that? How can you abound in like Scripture says here, deep poverty, but they're able to abound. And one of the ways that they were able to abound is because they were generous with what they had. And they gave what they had. So he's saying out of their deep poverty flowed an extreme generosity and overwhelming joy. And he says those people at Corinth, they were hurting like crazy, but the people in Macedonia, they stepped up. And they gave from their deep poverty. Do you know the number one test, the acid test of your faith? It is your finances. And the reason I say that is this. We spend the most time thinking about, making, worrying about, spending, investing, saving money. And here's the thing. How much do we trust God with our finances? How much do we trust Him? Well, here's what Jesus said, Luke chapter 16, verse 9. He said, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Verse 10 says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the righteous mammon, money, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you've not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Or money. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things and they derided him. They're talking about Jesus here. Jesus is giving this sermon. So money management is not just a good idea, but I want you to listen to me, Daystar Church. It's a spiritual test, and God is watching how we handle our finances. It's a test. Now, as your pastor, I've told you this. I love you. I pray that God bless you and bless you in a very special and remarkable way. I pray that the windows of heaven, this is what I pray for you. I pray that God will open the windows of heaven and He'll share blessings on you like you don't even have room to receive. So God tests, He uses shortages sometimes to test our generosity. And here's the thing I love about Daystar Church. You guys, you step up to the plate every time. And do not strike out, but hit a home run. You've been very generous in your giving. And I say, God bless you. But God tests our shortages. He uses shortages to test our generosity. So let's just be faithful in what God has given us. Let's be faithful in what He wants us to do. Here's the couple of principles that I want you to jot down. Under this particular point, I'll give you these in a hurry. And number one is this: God gives to generous people. He gives to generous people. Matter of fact, everything that you have in your life, it's because God's generous and He's given it to you. Breath of air you have in your lungs right now is because God's generous and He's given it to you. Your heart is beating right now because God is generous and He's given it to you. Blood is flowing through your body right now because God is generous and He's given it to you. Everything that you have, God is a generous and good God, and He's given it to you. God so loved the world that He gave, and He wants His children to be just like Him. I'll say this again. You cannot outgive God. Amen? You can't do it. Can't do it. All right, here's the second thing. Jot this down. When I do all that God tells me to do, He does what I cannot do. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 comes to mind here, how that Jesus told them to break up in different groups, and then He tells the disciples, He says, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "But we don't have any money. If we can't go to a store and buy enough money or buy enough food to feed 5,000 men, much less women and children, that is a part of this multitude." And Jesus tells the disciples, He said, "You give them something to eat." Out of this 5,000 people, there's one little boy steps up and he's got a lunch and he's got just a couple of items. I mean, just a few items in that. I mean, he's got five little rolls of bread. He's got two small fish, and he takes it and he gives it to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, watch this. Jesus takes it. He blesses it. He breaks it. And the entire multitude is fed as a result of it. They take up 12 baskets full of fragments, leftovers at the end. This little lad gave Jesus everything that he had. What's the principle here that I want you to see? And it's this: God multiplies what you give, and He uses what you give. So I really want to encourage you. God looks at us. We're going to be faithful. We got to be faithful in our generosity. That's just not just money, but it's other things as well. Your time, your energy, your efforts, your love, your concern, all of these things. Just be a generous people. All right, and you guys are that. So I'm bragging on you this morning a little bit. Here's the fifth thing. Jot it down. I'll give you two more things real quick, and we're done. Faithful people bring friends to Jesus. And I talked about this one just a little bit ago. Faithful people will share their faith in Jesus. good example in Scripture for us is, you remember the guy that was paralyzed? He had four friends. They come and they take this paralyzed man, their friend, to Jesus. They're just thinking, if I can get this guy to Jesus, maybe Jesus can do something. And so they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus, of course, heals the man, touches the man. And we find this in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 9. Behold, they brought him a paralytic man laying on a bed. And when Jesus, and I want you to see this, and I highlighted it for you because I wanted to jump out at you. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the guy that was paralyzed, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you." He later is going to tell him to get up and take his mat and go home. Okay, so let me ask you a question here. When Jesus saw the faith of the paralyzed man, he healed him? No. When he saw the faith of his four friends, when he saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, to the paralyzed man, "Get up." Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully, because we all know people who are paralyzed in some sense, form, fashion, or another. We have friends who are paralyzed by guilt. We have friends who are paralyzed by doubt. We have friends who are paralyzed, friends and family who are paralyzed by fear. We have friends and family that are paralyzed by worry, and they can't get to Jesus. So if we're going to be faithful, we're going to be faithful in pointing people to Jesus. Amen? Let's don't let our guard down, but let's be faithful in this area. Here's the last thing. Michael, come on, if you would, please. Last principle, last faith test. Faithful people build the faith of others. Faithful people build the faith of others. You see, when God sees your faithfulness, he blesses you, right? But he doesn't just bless you. He blesses others through you. Everybody in life needs someone to encourage them, to help them in their walk and their relationship with Jesus, to help mature them. Everybody needs someone to help. So I want to encourage you, find someone. Find that person that can help you. Find those people that can invest in you and help you in, grow in your relationship. And then you, in turn, find someone else that you can help. And be an example to them as well. So if you start helping people in their faith walk, you're going to find yourself being blessed by God in an amazing way. Faithful people build the faith of others. That's what God's called us to do. Here's what Scripture says, last verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So it's wise to learn from our own experiences, but it's wise to learn from the experiences, even mistakes of others. So if we're going to be a faithful person, a faithful individual, don't waste your hurts. Don't waste them. Use them to help people. Faithful people build the faith of others, because everybody has problems. Everybody goes through hard times. If we brought all of our problems and placed them right here, all of the troubles, the trials, all the problems that we have, and place them right here, I would venture to say that 95% or higher, if you knew what other problems were that people were going through, you'd go back and get your own problems. You'd go carry your own. So yes, there is that part that we all face difficulties and problems, but God uses these things to test our faithfulness. Now, what do we want to do? We want to grow in our faith. So God blesses faithfulness. Now, there's this war that's going on inside of us, this invisible war, this two natures, the old and the new. We're battling these enemies, the flesh, the world, the devil. We're battling this invisible war, but God's given us the victory, amen? Amen? That's what I want us to think about and know down deep, not just here, but here. that God has blessed us. He's given us the victory, and he wants us to be a faithful person to him. And I'm going to tell you this, God blesses faithfulness. You just can't outgive God. So allow God, just this morning, here's what I want to encourage you to do, to once again, just to fresh and anew, just as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to encourage you, just present yourself again to the Lord. Lord, here's my life. I want to be a faithful person, and I know you bless people of integrity. I know that you bless people who are generous. I know that you bless people who share their faith and bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I know that you bless others who are mature in their walk and they're willing to help others in their walk of faith. So, Father, you are a good God, and we bless you and we praise you today. And I pray for our dear people. I pray for our guests that are here today. I pray that we'd be a faithful person. Because here's what I know from experience. Here's what I know from the teachings of scriptures, the principles of the Word of God, that you bless faithfulness. And we just want in on that. We want to be a faithful people, individually and collectively as a whole. So Heavenly Father, would you help us to yield to you, to honor you with our lives. We love you and thank you for loving us. Hey, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and you're here today. And you know for sure that heaven is your eternal home. There's been a time in your life where you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're as sure as heaven as if you spent last night there. I'm glad you have that settled in your heart and your life. But maybe there's someone here today that just not sure that heaven is your eternal home. And you realize that your sins separate you from God. And you realize that Jesus came to pay for your sin penalty on the cross. He died, was buried, and rose again. And if you'd be willing to accept and receive him as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sin, turn to him, he'd be willing to save you, give you a home in heaven. And as wonderful as that is, he's made a promise that he'll be with us every single step of the way in our journey here. You've never invited him to be the Lord of your life, but that expresses the desire of your heart right now. You can just cry out to him from your seat. I promise you, he'll hear your cry. Just say, "Dear Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I am so sorry for my sin. I ask you to forgive me, cleanse me, come into my life. I receive you as my Savior. I give you my life." Tell him that. Just tell him, "Lord, I give you my life. I want to be a faithful person, faithful to you, to serve you, to live for you, to honor you. I give you my life." Hey, can I just tell you, if you prayed that prayer and invited Jesus in your heart and life, he heard your prayer and he answered your prayer. If you made that decision to trust and receive Christ as your Savior today, I'd love to hear about it, and I'll do my best to help you in your faith walk, best that I can. Maybe someone else that you came with would love to hear about it. I promise you they'll rejoice with you. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your life, trusting Christ. So Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us. You are such a good God, such a good Father. Help us to be faithful. Use and bless our lives for your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.